This is Melissa Bartell, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. It is day 8 of the Dog Days of Advent, and it is Sunday, and on Sundays I like to do essays. For the last, decade, I have been writing a column once a month called Sunday Brunch, first in All Things Girl, and then in Modern Creative Life. All Things Girl was closed several years ago. Modern Creative Life went on a long-term hiatus at the end of November. But this was my last Sunday brunch piece, and I think it really fits the season because it's about nostalgia and family and tradition. It's called Sunday Brunch, Button, Who's Got the Button? One of the wonderful things about social media is that a random conversation with a friend can send you down a path of memories, a veritable rabbit hole full of fragmented images and bits of conversation. Recently, someone I know mentioned something about buttons. I've lost the link to the original thread, and it triggered a visceral memory of my mother's button box. My mother is a self-described sewist, and has been for as long as I can remember. For much of my early childhood, my clothes were handmade originals, often, when I was very young, produced from scraps of the outfits she made for herself. As a teen, I was spoiled by her ability to see something I liked in a magazine and reproduce it for me, often in the space of a busy weekend. Sewing is, to my mother, like writing and music are to me. I do not share her affinity for fiber arts. I resented every moment of standing in line at Joann's or Hancock's because there was a fabric sale and I was a warm body who could use a second coupon and increase her stash. When she visits, I dread the day she designates for fabric shopping because the lights and the colors and the sizing on the fabrics literally make me sick. As it has been since I was a kid, my job on these days is to push the cart and hunt down the patterns she wants in the great big drawers. But there is one thing about my mother's sewing habit that has always intrigued me. Buttons. My mother's sewing desk, when I was young, was a lovely wooden piece with a central opening that hid her black metal Singer sewing machine from view when not in use. It was often in a window, sun-warmed, its French-inspired claw feet darkened from age but still beautiful. When the sewing machine was stowed, it was a writing desk, but somehow the wood had absorbed the special scent of pins. Really machine oil, I'm told. Being near it was like breathing in the essence of my mother's soul. My mother was most interested in what lived inside the desk, her machine. I, on the other hand, was completely captivated by the old red tea tin that resided atop it, my mother's button box. The tin has been ancient for at least as long as I've been alive. Bleeker and Simmons, it said on the front, those names seeming somehow mystical to me, or at least mythical. And within its brass-colored depths, oh, the treasures that I found. It wasn't all buttons, of course, and it wasn't buttons that would be used in everyday projects. For making blouses or pants or jackets or whatever, my mother would buy new buttons. A sailor-themed outfit might have plastic anchors as fasteners. A jungle print shirt would have tiny lion heads holding it closed. The buttons and other tiny trinkets inside the box were one-offs. An extra button from a new dress, a lost button from a favorite jacket, a metal button that was left over after a project. An ancient clip-on earring that might one day be turned into an ornament for a hat or lapel. A jingle bell that had probably been part of one of my ballet or Halloween costumes at one point. That tiny red tin seemed to hold endless wonders, each with its own history, its own future, its own magic. My mother's button box lives in my house now. I keep it on the dresser in the guest room so she can see it when she comes to visit. It didn't make the cut when she was packing to move to Mexico nearly 20 years ago, but neither of us could bear to just toss it away. Sometimes, I think about discarding the buttons that are in it now and starting my own collection of tiny objects, but mostly, I just like that it's there. It's a lesson in object permanence. We may not have pictures of many of those garments, but that doesn't mean they didn't exist. It's also a glimpse into my mother's creative soul and a reminder that, while our creative outlets are different, the need to create connects us both. Opening and closing music is a mix of Chris Zabriskie's The Oceans Continue to Rise from the Free Music Archive and a clip of whales singing off the coast of French Polynesia provided by Kivoy to freesound.com. The Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub, is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartel and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. For detailed show notes, including my contact information, please visit my website at bathtubmermaid.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.